This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you guys say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organ. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. That they're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen, and it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top, and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig.
I still don't really know what that part meant. You'll find out all the parity. But he was angry, and he was just popping off, shooting from the hip. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. That was Jimbo Fisher's impromptu presser to go back at Nick Saban after he put A&M's name in his mouth. Trying to get to the bottom of the Jimbo Fisher-Nick Saban controversy, talk NIL here. Who better to do it with than Bobby Carpenter? And we've talked with him in the past on college sports. He's been great. 7-year NFL linebacker, former graduate of The Ohio State University, and a co-host on SiriusXM College Radio now. And I believe he actually talked to Nick Saban yesterday. Am I right about that, Bobby? Didn't you guys have Saban on?
Well, thanks for having me on, gentlemen. Yeah, I was on there with Jacob Hester, who played with played for Jimbo and Nick at LSU. And yeah, it was pre-scheduled before all of that stuff happened. We'd worked out a couple of days ago. And I give Nick a lot of credit for coming on, despite everything. I don't think his SID was really keen on him coming on there, but you know, I tried to ask some tough but respectful questions, through everything. I will tell you this, when you said you don't know what you mean by parody, and Nick is now acting like there's an unfair playing field. Like, Texas A&M had an unfair advantage with the collectives and everything else that's going on. And I think Jimbo was alluding to the fact of, like, hey, dude, you think it's ever really been fair? You ask the assistants, you ask what they've done, you ask what you've been a part of. I think he's basically saying, like, hey, people know where the bodies are buried. So if you're going to sit here and try to claim as if you're, as some sort of righteous, pious figure in all of this, then I'm going to put you on blast because I coached for you for 5 years, and I know that you don't necessarily do everything 100% the right way.
Meaning they paid players or bigger than that?
I don't know. I'm not going to speculate on what it was.
And that's kind of what that was my comment was, it was very vague. Like, there were a lot of vagaries from him where he's like, I'm not going to tell you anything, but I'm angry and I'm just going to kind of float this out there. And that was kind of what was weird to me.
Well, he coached for him for 5 years. They won a national championship together. He didn't go with him to Miami. He stayed there with Les Miles. Like, they have a history together of success. And so I think as Jimbo Fisher's saying all that and everything he's putting out there, I feel like he would have some evidence. And so him saying, go talk to some of the other assistants. You've got SEC media or spring meetings here in 2 weeks in Destin. You've got Pittman. You've got Napier, you've got Kirby Smart, you've got everyone's favorite Lane Kiffin, who could be the real star of the show if he allows himself to be.
That's
given
true.
The way that he likes to stir that thing up. I mean, it could be really, really entertaining. And I'm curious to see if Greg Sankey gets all those guys in a room together beforehand and basically says, guys, like, put the gloves back on. You know, we're not going to sit here and just try to duke it out with each other and destroy our programs and our conference in the process.
Bobby Carpenter with us here on G&D. Bobby, did you have any problems specifically with what Nick Saban said, just either in naming Texas A&M or kind of the principle of what he was talking about when it comes to NIL?
So a couple of things when you look at it. Number one, I mean, it wasn't just Texas A&M. I mean, he threw Deion Sanders. There was Aflac on Aflac crime, you know, the crew there. I mean, threw him out there and, like, read it in the newspaper, and Deion spouts back. You know, the kid spouts back, like, all these different things. They start talking about Miami and Ruiz and everything with paying the basketball players. So there was a lot. There was a scatter shot now. I mean, this wasn't like a rifle shot from, you know, 200 yards. I mean, he pulled out a sawed-off shotgun and was just kind of spraying at the whole situation. And so when he came on with us, you know, and I asked him, like, how would you fix this then? You know, because I think his issue was really with the collectives. And I don't think many coaches have a problem with NIL. You know, it's like, hey, you want to, because in theory, this is how it should work. You get to school, you become a really good player, you know, you're marketable, you're a likable guy, you got social media, all this stuff. Like, you go make some money with that. Yeah, just like people do in the NFL. But then, like, the idea of the collectives and the guaranteeing of payments when guys come in, I think that's what he has a problem with. And I don't know whether he, you know, Jimbo was insinuating that had happened in the past or whatever it was. I don't know. Like, and I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, try to read into that as far as exactly what it was. But I've heard enough coaches talk and heard them say things. And I've played for a number of coaches who have coached with Saban over the years at Michigan State, LSU, Miami, Georgia, I mean, or Alabama, a number of different places. And so, you know, I understand kind of what Kirby or what Jimbo was maybe talking about a little bit there, but it just seemed like he was upset with really the entirety of the process, because he said on our show that he never once, you know, accused him of cheating, which is true. Like, he didn't come out and say that they were breaking the rules. He was talking about collectives and paying players. But he did insinuate that the only reason that they had the number one recruiting class is because they had a collective set up and they paid all these guys. And, you know, Nick told the story. We had guys who grew up dreaming of playing in Alabama, but we couldn't match what they were doing at A&M, so they went there instead, is basically what he said. And if I'm Jimbo Fisher, a national championship-winning head coach who has put together a couple nice recruiting classes here, granted, they went 8-4 last year, but they did beat Bama. They've got some wind at their back. You know, they've got, you know, a huge, huge booster base who, you know, with oil being, you know, $1.10 right now, I mean, everyone's flush with cash and they want to see their team win. And so he's probably feeling pretty chesty. And so he went out there and, you know, threw a lot of that stuff back. And so I get it on both sides. Like, I think Nick can be, two things can be true at the same time. It can be a little sour grapes, or a lot of sour grapes by Nick Saban, for, you know, obviously losing, you know, not, you know, getting out recruited, quote, by, you know, Jimbo Fisher, and also losing to him last year. And also Nick Saban can be saying that, you know what, the system, the way that it's set up, really isn't sustainable for, you know, the prolonged health of college athletics. And I believe those two things can be true at the same time.
Well said. Bobby Carpenter is our guest here on Grant and Danny. And the second part is really the only part I care about. I know there are certainly college football fans, SEC fans, that are all in on the drama of the two going back and forth. And better believe, 141 days from now, I can't wait till these teams play. It's going to be incredible. But I don't really necessarily care if he has sour grapes or if he's doing this for the right reasons or because he's mad that they didn't have the number one class. To me, as a fan on the outside looking in D.C., I care about college sports. I care about college football, in my opinion, going in a direction right now where it's going to be in bad shape in a couple years. How do you think this goes moving forward with NIL deals? You got receivers transferring for $2 million. When you have A&M or anybody else, I don't know if we're allowed to use them as an example or not. Jimbo Fisher's going to come after me. But with their collective, you know, throwing all this money at kids, I understand it was done under the table in the past in a much more limited capacity. But just to open this thing wide up now like this, this was not the reason, as you said, to go with NIL to begin with. So what do we do here?
Well, I mean, it's a combination of not just NIL, but the transfer portal, where now, like you said, Jordan Addison at Pitt, like, yeah, he won the Biletnikoff, Pitt won the ACC, his quarterback left. Hey, I'm going to hop in the portal and see what my free market value is. Like, and people, and unless I'm as big a free market guy as you're going to find, but it's all, I said, like, even in the professional sports, like, there's a certain number of years that you have to be in the league before you are a vested veteran or can apply for free agency. There's, you, just because you had a great year doesn't mean you can just go get a new contract. You may have 2 years left on your deal. Now, you may hold out or sit out or do all these other things. But, like, we've just created a system where there's really no parameters. And the thing that makes college sports so great is the fact that there's this passion behind it. You get to know the players. You know, you feel like there's a connectivity there. And, I don't care if guys are driving Lamborghinis and doing whatever. But, like, the feeling like, hey, this guy could be on our team today and just someone would pay him more and he would go to another team. Like, that, there's just something about that where it just feels a little disingenuous. And college football, I think, has the greatest fan bases in the world as far as passion and love behind it. And that's why these people who are willing to write checks and help start collectives. And Ohio State's got them going. And, you know, Tennessee, like, literally everybody looks around and, like, Texas and Texas A&M start putting it together. It's like, hey, well, we've got to match this. We have to try to compete. You know, if you view yourself as a national contender, but the reality is there's probably only 15 or 20 schools that have the boosters who have the desire and the financial capability to compete at that level. And I understand that it's never been an even and level playing field. And I have no problem, like I said, with guys making money when they get there and marketing themselves and doing all that. And that's always an element of it. But it's just, it's kind of wild to me, the fact that, like, how the whole situation operation is set up. And so the sustainability of it, like, I asked Nick, how do you get rid of it? How do we solve it? His solution was to treat collectives like boosters, and they can't be tied to university. You can't give money to players through that and all these different things. And, like, that sounds good, but how the heck do you enforce it? You know, but I will say this, gentlemen, like, I looked at some of the stuff with the NCAA. I mean, and they spent $3 or $4 million in the last 7 years on outside counsel. Like, maybe you should spend some of that money on, you know, the compliance element of it and making sure that everything's in a good spot, as opposed to, you know, just defending yourself and trying to hold up, you know, a model of amateurism where, in reality, like, the Big Ten and SEC over the next, you know, 6-7 years, the schools are going to be bringing in $100 million a year in TV money. And so that's not an amateur model at all anymore. And so trying to balance this, I think, is what everybody's trying to figure out.
Great insight here from Bobby Carpenter joining us on G&D. And Bobby, you limited my next question about how much the NCAA has spent on outside counsel and legal stuff, which has nothing to do to benefit athletes, really. It's kind of, you know, fighting in their own interests, and they got their butts kicked at the Supreme Court level, and here we are. I guess my question for you is, what should be their next priority? And this is everybody, whether it's players, schools, NCAA, commissioners, coaches, etc. Just curious, as somebody that went through it at such a high level, what should the next step be here to try to get whatever it is under control or that's best for the most people?
You know, so I've got a fairly unique perspective with this. Like, my dad played, you know, college football in Miami, Ohio, in the Mid-American Conference. He, you know, played 10 years in the NFL. I have brothers that played at Cincinnati, at Marshall, at Ohio University. And so, like, we have all these diverse experiences. I talk to guys who played all over the place, you know, in the NFL. It's like, okay. And I've talked to, you know, Gene Smith about this, the AD at Ohio State, and a number of other ADs and coaches from across, you know, the Big Ten, across the SEC, Pac-12, Big 12. And, you know, college football is different than all the other sports. The draw brings in the most money by far. It's a separate entity, and it's expensive to run. And so they've talked about pulling away. The 130 schools that are involved in college football at an 85 scholarship level need to pull away. Power Five, Group of Five, they can figure out how you delineate that in between and figure this out. But they need to sit down. And everybody needs to be really honest and say, listen, you know, there's some conferences, the Big Ten, SEC, that are making a crap ton of money. ACC is making good money. Big 12 is doing all right. Pac-12 is struggling mightily despite their population base and the amount of talent, because no one cares about football on the West Coast. But they've got to figure out what a sustainable model looks like. And they all need to agree on some rules. and they all need to sit there. And then, and here's the thing: like, if they go and if someone has a comprehensive plan that they could either A, take to Congress, because I'm telling you this, there are people that care, that want to get this figured out in Congress. They just want something that's ready made that everybody agrees on. Don't give us some half baked bullcrap that we have to figure out. We can't agree on anything in our legislature in America right now. Give us something you all can agree on. We'll either try to get it passed at a national level. If you can't do that, you take it state by state and you give it to them. And like these universities, they're massive entities within their state, and say, hey, we're going to take it to you, pass legislation that allows this but restricts a little bit of this. And we want to have kids have opportunities. We want to be able to market themselves and do all these different things. But I believe, like, you go to Alabama, and if Auburn and Alabama bring something to their state legislature, they're going to get it passed if everybody's on board. The same thing in Georgia, the same thing in Ohio, the same thing in Texas, you know, Florida, all of California, Oklahoma, all of these states, like, hey, this is what we need to get done. Because you know what? Like, in a lot of those states that football is big, the legislature cares about it because that's what their constituents care about. And so you're saying, hey, we've all agreed on this. That'll be tough to do because you have to have someone who is really has a lot of intestinal fortitude to steer that ship and realize there's going to be compromise everywhere. But that is, in my mind, how it has to happen. And it's not going to be an easy process. It'll be like getting bludgeoned to death, you know, with a freaking bar of soap and a sock. But you know what? Someone's got to suck it up and try to figure a way to get it done.
Just code redding everywhere.
Bobby Carpenter with us here on G&D. So where do you think this goes now? Obviously, their relationship seems to be dead in the water. You mentioned there's a media day coming up. They play in 140 or so days. What do you think's next in Saban versus Fisher here?
Oh, goodness. That's a great question. I don't know if they're ever going to be, great friends again. Like, and I don't know if they ever were great friends. I think there was a mutual respect because both of the guys were so good at what they did, and they were both so talented. And so I don't know if Jimbo really respected them. They won a national championship together. I'm curious to see if it can get to the level, and I equate this to like a marriage because that's essentially the only other thing I can say where people are as emotional about something as football like this, to where, like, hey, can we, you know, have an amicable separation? I don't need to like you. You don't need to like me. But it's better for the game. It's better for the conference if we at least go out and shake hands, give head nods, you know, have a little bit of small talk. It doesn't have to be anything serious. Understand that our relationship is irreparably damaged. But with that, like, we can at least put on a good face publicly and a good face for the kids. Like, I think that's what Nick wants to do. I think Jimbo probably will do that because he understands it. You know, he's an emotional dude. I'm as emotional as anybody. Like, in the moment, dude, you're sitting there down there and like, hey, I'll burn the whole house down, me inside, if that means that I get to take down the guy that was throwing this slander at me. You know, but with that, understanding, like, that's probably not what's going to be best for your school, for your conference, and for the game at large. So hopefully, come October 8th, they can at least have a pseudo blow-by handshake, put your hand on the dude's back, pat him, and say, good game, and just walk off, as opposed to creating, you know, some more nonsense and getting everybody hyped up for, like, WWE SummerSlam.
That's, like, the mature, great way to put it, Bobby, but I'm hoping for a blood feud because I'm a child. Thank you, dude. This is great.
Hey. Great, Danny. My pleasure, man.
Really appreciate it, bud. Thank you.
At BCarp3 on Twitter does a heck of a job covering college sports. Big day. He's been all over the place. Was with Pat McAfee today, among other stops. So we appreciate him making some time for us on Grant and Danny. Let's open up the phones for you guys next at 800-636-1067. Nick Saban says something has to be done. Jimbo Fisher has no problem with the current philosophy. He, of course, just dialed up the best recruiting class in the country, spent millions of dollars to bring guys in. It wasn't the program doing it. It was this fund that was put together outside via NIL. What regulation should there be for player movement, for transferring, for spending on players in what has become the wild, wild west in free agency in college sports? Or should there not be? any regulation? Should it be open season like it has been? You don't have any problem with the current situation. 800-636-1067 is the number. MGM National Harbor Listener Lines available for you on Grant and Danny.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.